Now we give each one a very hearty welcome to our gospel meeting tonight. We appreciate you coming. Our earnest prayer is that if you're not saved, that you will get God's salvation. That's the purpose of these meetings. We're not here to look for church members for the Victoria Drive Gospel Hall, but as that your soul may come into the greatest blessing of all time, the blessing of the forgiveness of all your sins. Our Lord willing, we purpose a meeting each night from Monday through Friday at 8 o'clock, preceded by a prayer meeting at 7:30 for those who are free to come, and for a short prayer meeting after each gospel meeting. We need to keep at the throne of grace for the blessing of God. God is working, and so is the devil. So we want to see others brought to Christ and rejoice in the Savior of sinners. We're glad to see you. We welcome you back if you're free each night, and we announce these meetings in the will of the Lord. I would like to read tonight in the Gospel by John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now the Gospel by Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 and verse 41. And when he, that's the Lord Jesus, was come near, he beheld the city of Jerusalem, and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. That's chapter 7. And verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. We'll go further down the chapter. Verse 44. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. A final reading in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now we trust the Lord will bless his word and help us to preach the gospel from these scriptures that we have read tonight. A few years ago, a missionary who had left home and went to India, one afternoon he had a visitor, a young man who had been studying the Hindu religion. And so he came to the missionary. He wanted to compare Christianity and Hinduism. The missionary gladly accepted his offer, and after about 3 hours' conversation, the young man said to the missionary, Well, he said, there's one thing in Christianity that Hinduism does not have. The missionary very quickly said to him, And what might that be? Well, he said, Christianity has a savior. Hinduism has not. Hinduism is a religion of works. Christianity is a message about a savior, one who accomplished the work, and God is satisfied with the work that he did, that you and I might be saved. Now, I would like tonight to speak on the savior of sinners. We have read from the Gospel by John chapter 8 that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is presented to us as a warning Savior. He warned people, he warned his hearers that if they did not believe on him, they would die in their sins, and whither he went, they could not come. We learn from the Gospel by Luke chapter 19 that the Lord Jesus Christ, he was a weeping Savior. As he beheld the city of Jerusalem, there where he had done many miracles, where they had seen the power of God manifested right before their very eyes, yet they did not believe on him. He wept over that city, and he had this to say about them. They knew not the time of their visitation. We believe there's souls in this gospel hall tonight. And my friend, it's your time of visitation. God has visited others that you know. They have come to Christ for salvation. And yet still tonight finds you in danger of losing your soul for the great eternity. The Lord Jesus wept. He sobbed over the city of Jerusalem because they knew not the time of their visitation. We learn from the Gospel by Luke chapter 7 that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is a forgiving Savior. Here was a woman in the city, and she was a sinner. Simon knew that she was a sinner, but Simon didn't know that he was a sinner. But the Lord Jesus said to Simon, "Her sins, which are many, are all forgiven." Then he said to the woman, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Ah, friends, tonight, how did this woman know her sins were forgiven? The only one way, because the Lord Jesus Christ said it. He told her, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Has God ever spoken to you personally? Has God ever told you or showed you from his word by the moving of the Spirit in your soul that your sins are all forgiven? It will be 38 years next month when I, as a young fellow, 21 years of age, whenever I came to that great discovery that when the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross, he died to put away my sin by a sacrifice upon the tree. God was satisfied with that sacrifice on my behalf. And that night, December the 14th, 1950, it satisfied me that Christ had taken my place. He was my substitute. He took my sin as if they were his own, but they were not his. They were mine. And he died that I might live. We read from Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. The Lord Jesus Christ presented to us as a wounded Savior. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. From those words we learn, God's salvation, it all depends on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's none of my works involved. I did the sinning. He does the saving. He was wounded for my transgressions. You see, salvation is a very personal thing. While the Lord Jesus Christ provided salvation for all men all over the world tonight, yet as individuals who come into the good of this salvation by believing the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died upon the cross, he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The judgment, what was due to me, the punishment for eternity, was upon him. And with his stripes, I'm healed or I'm saved. Thank God tonight, you may have come to this meeting on the way down to hell, and leave it, heaven born and heaven bound. How could it be? By trusting his Son, by trusting Christ as your own and personal Savior. We trust that you'll do that tonight. I did that 38 years ago. I have never had one moment that I ever regretted getting God's salvation. Did you ever meet a real Christian? One who was enjoying salvation, and they were sorry that they ever got saved? I have never met one yet in all my experience I've met Christians that suffer a lot of pain, but yet they never regret that great moment in their life when they put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for the great eternity. Now, John's Gospel, chapter 8, the Lord Jesus makes it very clear and plain. He says, if you don't believe in me, you're going to die in your sin, and whither I go, ye cannot come. Now, you and I know that warnings are faithful. We see warning signs on the highway. Whenever there's certain signs, we know to slow down. Sad to say, sometimes many don't. What happens? Well, they have what we call an accident. And that happens time and time again because they do not obey the warning that's posted for them too. But then we find in the Word of God, and I firmly believe, that God has warned souls in this meeting. God has brought before you your great need of salvation. And it may be you have come close to salvation, but yet you're not inside the door. Many a one has been almost saved, but to be almost saved is to be altogether lost and lost for eternity. It's very solemn to come close to salvation and yet miss out. Now, the parents warn their children. When we see them near danger, we warn them, sometimes take them away near a hot school or something that would be harmful to them. Why do the parents do that? Because they hate the child? A million times no. It's because of their love for that child. And because of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to you tonight. That's why he warns you. If you die in your sin, you're going to go down into hell to be there forever. How does a person know if they would die in their sins? Well, if you don't believe in Christ, if you don't trust him as your Savior, you're going to die in your sin. And he has said, he warns you faithfully, where I am, ye cannot come. So the greatest matter of importance to your soul tonight is to get your soul saved, to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The night that God saved me, I got peace. I was a troubled soul. I was a young man, oftentimes careless, lived a life of self and sin. Yet when God arrested me, when he brought before me my need of this great salvation, I wasn't happy. We're living in a world tonight that's not happy. They're running here, they're running there. They're trying one thing after another. What for? Oh, they're longing to get happiness. Well, I was just the same. But 38 years ago, I found something. I found someone who satisfied me. I came to the Lord Jesus Christ as a poor, lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner. Nothing to offer to God. If any person ever deserved to be in hell, it was me. I heard so much gospel. I had so many opportunities to get God's salvation. And I turned the Savior down. But there came a time in my life when I was brought onto the sound of God's word. And it was impressed upon my soul. Begum, this is your time of visitation. If you miss salvation now, you'll never get saved. And I firmly believe on the authority of God's word that if I hadn't got saved when I did, I would have been in hell tonight. God goes so far. God is long-suffering with people. And he gives them opportunity. There are many in this world. They didn't have the opportunities that you have had. And yet, they're gone out into eternity. They perhaps may only have heard the gospel once, maybe twice, died in their sin, and went out to meet God without a Savior. Oh, the Lord Jesus, he warns you tonight. He's a warning Savior. If you don't believe me, you'll die in your sins. And whither I go, ye cannot come. We read from Luke chapter 19, as he looked over that great city, Jerusalem. Oh, the many privileges that they had had. How many times that he had warned them. But yet they paid no heed to the warnings of God. And as he comes near for the last time, he was on his way to the cross. He begins to weep. He begins to sob over that city. Why did hot, scalding tears run down the face of the Savior? He was looking over a city which should have been saved, but they knew not the time of their visitation. You can't get salvation when you land. God offers you salvation tonight. God's time, behold now, is the accepted time. Behold now is the day of salvation. That's God's time. When's your time? Tomorrow? Maybe Wednesday? Maybe sometime in the future? Friends, poor Felix, don't forget, he put off salvation. The realities of eternity were brought to bear upon his soul. Judgment to come made that hard-shelled sinner tremble. And he said to Paul, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. The solemn thing is, we never read of Felix ever getting saved. He had his time of visitation. This is your time. He missed his. Dear soul tonight, don't miss your time of visitation. It's tonight. I read a tract that I picked up at the back. The title of it is Tonight or Never, of a man who came to a gospel meeting and he sat under the sound of the Word of God. His heart was reached. His conscience was touched. And there he desired salvation. When the rest had left, he remained behind. The preacher sat down and sought to point him to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning whenever the light from heaven shone in on his dark soul. And there in the small hours of the morning, that dear man got saved. He left the preacher. The next day he went to work in a coal mine. There was an explosion heard in that mine. Rescuers went to work and they began to clear away the debris. Finally they came and they heard a voice, faint. But as they dug on the faster and they got this man out, what were the last words that he spoke upon earth? He says, thank God, it was settled last night. You see, there came a point in his life. This is my time of visitation. This is my time to get salvation. Had he missed it that night, he would not have had the offer the next night. But then you see the devil, oh, he's a great stealer. He steals more sermons than anyone else. And when the Word of God reaches and touches a heart, the devil's right there to take away the seed of the Word of God sown. Did you ever experience the devil in a gospel meeting when you had a serious thought? Well, I should get this matter settled. And the devil says, oh, you're timing up yet. That's a lie from the pit. Multitudes of souls have missed salvation by listening to the devil and of taking him at his word instead of taking God at his word for salvation. The Savior wept over the city of Jerusalem because they knew not the time of their visitation. They had the offer of salvation and they had turned it down. Now they weren't dead. Genesis chapter 6 verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I know men in this world tonight, men in the East that we have come to know and preach to many times, and they had serious thoughts about their soul a few years ago. Not anymore. Why is that? My friend, I'll tell you what God's Word says. My spirit shall not always strive with man. The Spirit of God will not always strive with you. If you have a serious thought tonight, cherish it. Those thoughts may leave, and if the Spirit of God leaves you, you'll be left alone in your darkness to dwell, even in sight of the heavenly shore. It's a serious business to listen to the gospel. It's a serious business to be dealt with by the Spirit of God. He will not always strive, but what if he leaves you? Live your life as you please. Die in your sins and go down to hell to weep your folly forever and forever. Oh, may it reach your soul tonight. May it touch my heart. The reality of a precious soul being lost and lost eternally. A weeping Savior. Oh, he wept over men and women and boys and girls. He wept hot, scalding tears about their spiritual condition because they knew not the time of their visitation. The woman that the Lord Jesus, that she came to his feet, shed tears on his feet, wiped his feet with her hair. Simon knew she was a sinner. And Simon thought within himself, well, he's no prophet, or he would know what kind of a woman that was. Is there a sinner in our meeting tonight? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And if he came to save sinners, and I'm a sinner, he came to save me. How does he save me? How did he save the woman? Thy sins be forgiven thee. She didn't try to feed with the still there. The moment he spoke, she took him at his word. That's what salvation is. Many believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe that he died for their sins. But then my sins are still here. Why not take God's word for it? This woman did. She didn't feel her sins go. She didn't see them go. But she knew the wind. How did she know? The Savior sent. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Isaiah 53:5. But Jesus was wounded. Oh, make it personal, friend. Jesus was wounded. Where? On the cross. Nailed by the hands and feet. Crowned with thorns upon the tree. Silent in his agony. Dying crushed beneath the load of the wrath and curse of God. But Jesus was wounded for my transgressions. Jesus was bruised for my iniquities. Jesus was punished instead of me, that I, a poor sinner, might have salvation. God says, Bingham, do you believe it? Oh God, I stake my soul upon thy word for time and eternity. You see, salvation is believing God. Taking God at his word, resting your soul upon a work that has been accomplished, a work that you could never do. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Make him yours, and make him yours.